You had been active during this period.
Yes. I, as I say, following this inspiration of Thomas More, I thought I ought to get in the government. And I also had another inspiration, the Christopher Movement. Father Keller and the Christopher Movement, which use the old Chinese proverb for their own slogan, better light one candle than the curse of darkness. And so for those reasons, I got involved in politics in Flint. And I looked for a party to belong to. And at that time, the Republican Party in Flint was kind of a closed shop. They kind of only wanted you if you kind of one of the better people. And I was not then a confirmed Democrat. I said, well, what's the other gang do? I had heard of Williams. Mm-hmm. And I went around to listen to him talk. And I really became taken with the guy because he was the first politician I'd met in a long time who didn't, as I say, insult your intelligence with a lot of garbage. Williams always talked issues, and that impressed me. Mm-hmm. And so I sort of moved in to see what they were doing and became involved in his big recount in 52. And then I think in 54 I became secretary of the county committee in Genesee, and I was active in Dallas for Democrats and things of that kind, and working along with Jerry O'Rourke and other people in Flint who were still there who were active in the party. And he did not prevent me from going off and doing my civic duty as an assistant prosecutor for Republican mm-hmm. prosecutor Chester R. Schlesinger, who was kind enough to really to pursue me for a year to come into the office. When they had a very small office in front, they had a prosecutor, a chief assistant, and four assistants. And they were going to lose one guy, and
you were one of four assistants?
Yeah. Yes, I guess I got about 30-some on now, but I was the fourth and final assistant, as I call myself. And I went in the last half year of Chess Schlesinger's term and tried, I counted them, 20 jury cases. I lost one. But it was the biggest one I tried, and I took about 50, 60 preliminary examinations and got considerable experience as an assistant prosecutor in that very short time. But anyway, I ran for municipal for school board, City of Flint School Board in 53, I lost. I ran for municipal judge in Flint, and I think that was in 55, and lost. I had no thought of ever being on the Michigan Supreme Court. I think the little firm that I was a part of by that time, Mallory and Smith, I think we had two matters, I believe, in the Supreme Court in the time I was there. Mr. Mallory's matters, not mine, I worked on. I didn't. My ambition when I started practice law in Flint was scaled down to what I thought was realistic expectation. And I said I wanted to be a good, honest lawyer and to be regarded so by my peers. And I had a great emphasis on honest. And I wanted simply to be able to make enough living to support my wife and four sons. That was my ambition when I started to practice in Flint. That's all. Then running for the school board, I was asked to do that. Running for municipal judge, I thought I would make a pretty good municipal judge. But I had no thought about being either a circuit judge or on the Supreme Court at that time. And I sort of gave it up as an elective office because Mr. Mallory kept saying, you can't keep one foot in government and one out. You got to decide what you're going to do. And then here I am, active in the community, so much so that I was chosen by the Flint Junior Chamber of Commerce in 1956 as the most outstanding young man in Flint, 56, which I understand brought me to the attention of Lansing in a way that they had not previously remembered me. They knew me as a very ardent worker for Williams in the election campaigns, 52 and 54. I had went around all over Flint with Tom Cavanaugh, who mm-hmm. was elected Attorney General in 54, and I had worked with Phil Hart, who was Lieutenant Governor, and had great rapport with him and great fondness and affection for Phil. And so Phil Hart himself told me that when my name was thrown into the discussion about filling the position of chairman of the Michigan Public Service Commission, that he kicked himself for not himself having advanced it. The fellow who thought about it was Alfred B. Fitt, who was the governor's legal advisor. And I had encountered him in these extradition hearings. I had a couple of in the governor's extradition hearings for clients who were sought to be extradited to southern states, one Arkansas, one someplace else. And Al Fitt told me he remembered me because I didn't come up there wearing the flag of the Democratic Party. I came up there as a lawyer in the hearings he conducted. And so he thought that was somewhat unusual. And so when they were fishing around for a name to fill the chairmanship, which was vacated by William R. Hart, Bill Hart, he tossed my name in, and when he said, when I tossed it, they all said, that's it. See if he's available and see what the industry thinks about him. Well, I didn't know anything about this, and I wasn't called immediately. My name was leaked to the industry, and then they put their investigators on it to come up the fence and see whether I had any horns or any great problems with anything that would make it embarrassing for the governor to appoint me, and they apparently didn't find anything. I am told that Tommy McIntyre, you probably knew.
Oh, yeah.
Who worked for the Times.
I never met that fellow. I've heard it.
I, I,